Hey guys, welcome to episode number 18 of Let's Book Talk. Today we're speaking with Emma E. Murray, the author of When the Devil, which comes out on May 7th. We had a great conversation about, you know, the intrigue of morally gray characters and why they are so, you know, captivating and fun to read and write. We talked about her psychology degree and how that's helped her as an author as well, and so many other things. So I really hope you guys enjoy this episode because it was a really great one. And kind of off the typical genre that we usually talk about here on this show. So that was really exciting. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Emma E. Murray. Enjoy. So I always start out these episodes at the very beginning with how you developed your passion for storytelling. So if you could talk a little bit about that, how you developed your passion for storytelling, you know, inspirations and influences that kind of seeped into your writing style, that would be awesome.
Yeah. So I actually fell in love with reading at a very, very young age. My dad taught me how to read before I started preschool, and he is a very avid reader. And so I fell in love with stories first, and I actually became a writer very young. I knew I wanted to be it. I have like a first grade book that says, when I grow up, I want to be an author. And so I've always loved writing. And I used to back then wanted to be an illustrator too, but I'm actually not good at drawing. So that's gone. But I would draw little like booklets that had stories about unicorns and Pegasuses and this like magical world. And so I definitely started at a young age. As I got older, I got really into horror, and that horror and sci-fi are my main genres. And they're also the main genres I read, although I do read widely. So I do enjoy a little bit of everything. And yeah, I definitely have taken that in and put it into my love of storytelling.
That's awesome. And I love how, you know, I spoke to another author and she mentioned how she also wrote her own stories and illustrated along with it. And it's funny how when you're sort of trying to find your path, which side of it clicks more than the other. Because I'm like you, my artistic ability in terms of drawing and illustrating is not good, like whatsoever. You know, I end at stick figures. That's like the extent of my drawing ability. But was it always like writing for you, or did you ever dabble in any other form of storytelling, whether it be, you know, anything with film or anything aside from writing? Was that sort of always, once you got the taste for it, that's kind of what you stuck to?
I mean, I'm a huge film buff, and so I do love film. I did do some acting when I was in high school and stuff, and so I love all of the arts, to be honest. And so I definitely did dabble in everything, but writing has been the one passion like that's stuck throughout my life. Like I've definitely gone through all kinds of different crazy phases, but it's always been writing.
That's awesome. And I was going to leave this question further down the line, but you kind of led me perfectly right into it. How has your life changed ever since you've been able to devote all of your time to your writing? I got to imagine that's like realizing a dream.
Oh, it is. And well, just to clarify, I am a stay-at-home mom of a 3-year-old. So yeah. I don't get to spend all of my time writing, but definitely much more than when I was a teacher. So I was an elementary teacher, and I was trying to be a writer then too, but I took home so much work, and teachers, they work a lot at home even after hours. And so I just was exhausted and I wasn't really getting anywhere. And so once I had my daughter, my partner was, thankfully, he was very supportive of letting me live my dream of being a writer. He's like, you can do this. I think you have the talent. And yeah, since then I've been able to give much more of myself to my writing, and that's helped me get an agent. I think that's really gotten the ball rolling on everything happening for me. And so I'm very thankful, because I also have a lot more energy for it because I'm not working full time. I'm writing near my daughter. And so even when I'm with her, there is times where I can like, you know, jot some things down, which I couldn't really do when I was teaching.
Yeah. And how important is that support? Because I can imagine like somebody that like is just so all in with what you want to do and says, yeah, go for it. How important is that, especially for a writer that, you know, a lot of the time, unfortunately, it is sort of a thankless, you know, thing of like, it's just you. And so yeah, if you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important to have support. Like, I do know some very successful writers who have normal full-time jobs, but it's very draining for them, definitely. And they also, most of them have a passion for their full-time job as well. So it's not like something that's just to make money. But having support in any kind of way is so important, even if you are working. Like, I think actually one of your questions that I know you're going to talk to me about was like, what can writers do? And I'm like, what you should really do is make writer friends. Join a writing group or a Discord or some kind of somewhere where you can find either beta readers or a writing group, because having people who understand your passion is super important. Because I'm very thankful that my partner supports me and he does read all my stuff, but it's not the same kind of feedback and support that I get from other writers. Like, that the most precious thing I can have, because they understand and they get it.
And kind of on that same topic, how has TikTok helped? Because I mean, TikTok has just opened it up, and I've spoken with a lot of the other authors that I've interviewed about this as well, that TikTok has just opened up the floodgates in terms of reading, you know, whether it be the readership that reads your genre, branching out to others. And as you said, you know, talking to other authors as well on the platform, how has TikTok helped you just kind of reach both sides of the coin?
So I actually really love TikTok. I was really nervous to join because I'm a little older. I'm a millennial. So I was like, I don't know about this, and also putting myself out there. But honestly, yes, I found other writer friends through TikTok. But on top of that, I found writers that I didn't know their work, that I wasn't familiar with it through other things. Like, I was very active on Twitter and Instagram and stuff, but I didn't see them there, only found them through TikTok, which have become like writers I really admire and look forward to their stuff. And yeah, finding an audience. I have had many people reach out to me telling me they've read my stories or wanting to know where they can read more because of TikTok. And I never thought that would happen. Yeah, I think it's an amazing tool. And I mean, I love TikTok.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's kind of the same thing that's happened with me as a reader. I've been exposed to so many different authors and stories that I otherwise would not have ever known about. And it's been great. And honestly, this podcast is born from that. So it's really, really cool how that's happened. But I do obviously want to talk to you about your writing. You know, reading about your background in psychology and education was super interesting. And, you know, what is it about sort of like the human condition and the human psyche that intrigues you so much? And why is it that those morally gray characters that we read in literature a lot and are huge on book talk as well, why do we gravitate towards them as much as we do?
So I definitely have always been very intrigued by the dark side of humanity and how all of us do have a dark side, even if we all of us are morally gray, even if we're not always morally gray. I mean, a lot of us probably consider ourselves very good people, but like, we all have a little bit of that. And I think that that's why we're drawn to those characters, because they're very real. I don't think, like, personally, I'm not a big fan of like superheroes who are all good and, you know, villains that are completely evil and very like black and white stories. And I know some people are very into that and I respect that. But I think that, like you said, a lot of TikTok readers and a lot of, especially people in horror, really love characters that are fully rounded and have that dark part of them, even whenever they have like good parts and bad parts, and so that you can root for someone who maybe you don't really want to, or you like a protagonist that, you know, you're like, oh, you know, I don't really like them, but at the same time, they are doing this. I understand it. And I think that my love of psychology really brought that out, is that I was brought up, my dad was a child psychologist and my sister is a therapist now. So I was brought up with the DSM in the house and always being very into psychology. And when I was in college, I was very drawn to abnormal psychology. And so I very much bring that into my writing. I try and make it very realistic and not depict people in a way that's hurtful for people who suffer from mental illness, but also is truthful, because Like if you look into, I'm very big into true crime, and a lot of those people do suffer from mental illness. And it's like, how did that manifest with their background and their trauma and their brain chemistry to cause this person to be that way? Because I like stories that make sense, where you can be like, I understand why this person got there and why they're acting this way. And
Yeah.
so I try to bring that into my own stories. I hope that
That's
makes
no, totally. And you know, I think the true crime part of it is such a great it's such a great subject to dive into, especially for the kinds of stories that you write, because you know, especially with all the Netflix documentaries that have been coming out, the ones on HBO, and like you said, all the podcasts. I mean, I can't imagine not only the subject matter itself being it having so many things to pull from, but like when you're writing those stories, does it ever take sort of a mental toll on you to go through like a lot of the real life stuff that just that happens that I'm sure you can pick and include in a story? But yeah, does it ever get to a point where you kind of have to take a step back and be like, okay, this is a lot. I have to, you know, take a minute and then I'll come back to it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
So, first of all, I do a lot of research actually for my writing, especially novels. And both my debut novel and my novel next year that are coming out are both actually based heavily around reading a lot of true crime to get into that mindset because they're kind of crime horror. And so, there has definitely been times that I've encountered some stories that were just so intense and heartbreaking that I had to give myself some time away from that.
Yeah.
But also getting into those characters' minds, it can be tolling because sometimes you also, because of the whole morally gray part of it, you can feel for someone that you feel kind of guilty almost feeling for
Right.
them because you know what they did was so horrendous. But then you find out, for instance, that they have like a background of being abused and you start to kind of understand and rationalize it. And so I can be in that headspace of family readers are when they're reading my stories, but about real people. And that can, yeah,
Yeah.
it can be a little bit much sometimes. But I always go back to it though. I'm just really intrigued.
No, I'm sure. You know, I think we're all in that same boat in one way or another, where we can read those stories or watch those kinds of movies or TV shows, and it could get us for a while, but then we're always like, hey, when's the next, you know, when's the next true crime documentary coming out, or when's the next episode of the podcast? Like there's something about us that I think we gravitate towards that stuff. And for whatever reason, I think like it's just holding up a mirror to society and being like, okay, this stuff does happen, and you kind of have to address it whenever you can.
Oh, it's twofold. Is that one, we can see ourselves in those perpetrators and we're like, how could that happen? But we can also see ourselves in the victims and want to understand how to not get in that situation or how could we approach that situation and hopefully get out alive, you know? Like, very like we can see both, I think. And yeah, and especially with true crime, the fact that that actually happened is really intense. Like, and people are, they can't help but want to know more about it.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's one of the things that I love about you know, talking to people such as yourself that are so into it, but can really put both of those sides into a story. I think that's really, really cool how you're able to do that. And you know, I did want to ask about your upcoming book, When the Devil. If you could talk a bit about that story, how that story idea came about, and what the writing process was like, and if you had any challenges while you were writing that story.
So when the devil came about, because so I'm from Texas, and I was talking to somebody who's not from Texas originally, and I said, oh, the devil's beaten his wife, which means that it's like a sun shower, like it's raining while the sun is out. And they were very, very upset about that phrase because they had never heard it before. And it kind of inspired this story because I was like, oh my God, I didn't realize people didn't know that phrase. It's just one of those things. And so it kind of just ended up spiraling into this whole thing because I love Southern Gothic stories that really explore the grotesque and dark. And also people who are raised very religious, and whenever they are having to come up against that and say, do I actually believe this? And that's what When the Devil is really about, is in the story, there's a girl, She has had a really hard life. She very much, was raised with traditional morals and religion, and she starts to realize that she wants to explore her sexuality and freedom, and that she doesn't have to necessarily bow down to these like patriarchal expectations that
Right.
society is pushing on her. And at the same time, we have another character that is very morally gray, that you're like, but is that too extreme? And it kind of is being the reader in this like, who do I agree with? Like, what do you think is the right thing for these people to do? Where's the middle ground? And honestly, that story just flew out of me. Like, I wrote it over 2 days, over two like very intense writing sessions, and it only needed like minimal revising and editing to get to a publishable state. And so that one was not actually that hard for me to do. It just kind of manifested. Like, and those are the best ones because they just come out.
Yeah, I can imagine, when you're writing a story, how many times that happens, I'm sure is not a lot when a story just, flows right out of you. What was the best experience, like the best part of writing that story over those 2 days? Like, is there a memory that jumps out at you of like, man, I love that I was able to, get this part of the book onto paper without any struggle or, writing a certain character or a certain moment. Is there anything that comes to mind?
So first, just being in that flow state is the best. And yeah, you're right. I don't get there that much. And so it was amazing to just be in that where it's just like, it felt like I barely remember writing it because it really feels like it just like poured out of me like a movie or a painting or something. And it was just there and I could see it. And I was just describing it as I saw it. But there's some murders in this story, a little spoiler, but not too spoiler if you know my stuff. Like, that's very me. And there's one particular murder, which is the first one that happens, that is my favorite scene in it. I think it's I'm really proud of how I described it. I think it turned out really grotesquely beautiful, which is kind of what I'm always aiming for. And so I hope readers will agree.
Now, what is your favorite part, when writing? Is it those descriptive scenes? Is it dialogue? Is it a mix of the two? Like, what is, when you're writing, what are you more excited to write? I guess is the best way I could put it.
Definitely a mix of the two. It's like certain scenes that come to me. So I'm very out of order. I'm not a big plotter, but I have like main points that I'm writing around, and I write the scenes that I'm most excited about first. And so usually those scenes are the more intense scenes, like an argument or a murder or the big reveal. And so those are my favorite parts to write because yeah, that's like it's usually just those are the parts that flow out the most. And so that's fun versus like, little scenes that you need to have to build character, but that aren't quite as fun to read or write.
Oh my God. I've always thought about like maybe I should just try it. Maybe I should try to write, a short story to see like what could happen. And I can't imagine how it must feel for you to like when you're in that state, everything is just going perfectly well and getting that strand of paper when those creative juices are flowing and you are being like led into the perfect climactic scene of the story. When you're in those states, like what is it that is coming to mind most for you? Is it like eliciting the emotion that you want the reader to have? Is that top of mind, or is it like just being able to synthesize your story in the best way that you can, so that that part doesn't happen after that creativity, like explosion goes away.
I definitely think that for me, I'm very visual with reading and writing. And so it's very much like just getting it to feel how I see it in my head. And so a lot of that has to do with character. I'm very character driven in all my stories. And so, yes, very much making sure that this character comes across to the reader how I want them to. And especially because I do have characters that are easy to hate if you do not tread carefully with them. And so getting that out there, but also, yeah, the descriptions of being like, I so badly want readers, and I know they never will see it exactly how I see it, but I want to be there with me, especially for those really intense scenes,
Yeah.
because I'm excited to share that with them. And so I really want them to experience it the right way.
And how awesome is it for you when you get feedback that somebody felt the exact same way that you wanted, that either you felt while writing it or the emotion that you wanted them to feel at the end of the story?
That is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
I have a novel coming out after When the Devil Called Crushing Snails that is very upsetting. It's a very, very dark. Definitely check trigger warnings if that's something for people who are listening. I had someone who was very upset by it, who is not ever upset by horror, and it was a little bit sad for me that it upset them so much. At the same time, they were like, "No, this really got me. That's how good it is," and that's
Yeah.
the kind of feedback is that it got past someone who's like so hardened to horror that they didn't think they could be affected, and they were like, "I was
Right.
almost crying," and I was like, "Whoa, that's
Yeah.
crazy. I didn't think this person would be like that."
Now, on that same note, is there a reaction that you're always hoping to get with one of your stories? Whether that's because I know a lot of authors love to, at least authors that I've spoken to in the past, they love to toy with the audience in terms of either they make you think that your favorite character is going to die, or they'll just kill them off at the end and make you wait that 1 or 2 years for the next story. But is there anything that, like, is there the number one thing that you have in your mind of, this is the reaction I hope I get with every story that I write?
I would say that I really love open endings. And so that's something that people listening, just so you know, I know some people hate those, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I love readers wanting more. Honestly, I love readers that are like, "Oh my God, I was so into this, and I just wish there was more." Like, that's the feeling I usually go for.
Yeah. That is the feeling that for me in the past, it's either been like I love cliffhangers myself, but I know as soon as I finish the book, I want the second one right then and there. And I get so impatient, so I can just imagine. But yeah, no, that's really great because I feel like that's the state you want readers in. Because the moment where they say, "Okay, I'm good," then it's like, you got to draw them back in some way. So with those two books coming down the line, is there anything else you're working on right now that we can keep an eye out for in the future?
Well, I have a lot of things that will be coming up soonish, and
Okay.
a lot of them I can't talk about too much. But yeah, I have When the Devil coming out in May, and then I have Crushing Snails coming out in August. And then next year, I don't have a date yet, but I have a really crazy story coming out from Apocalypse Party, just like Crushing Snails, called Shoot Me in the Face on a Beautiful Day. And
Love that
so,
title.
yeah, I my agent wanted me to change it because she was like, "I think it's a little bit too much." And I was like, "No." And I
Yeah.
usually trust her, but I was like, no. And everybody since then has been like, "I love that title." I'm like, "Thank you. I love that title too."
That, before we wrap up here, I actually did want to piggyback off of that, what you just said. Is there ever a situation where like it serves you well? Obviously, this is one case, but if it ever serves you well to stand your ground when, speaking to your editor or somebody else that gives you like a piece of advice, but you feel it so deeply, you're like, no, this is the right decision. How often should you one listen to that voice? And is there any instance where you should maybe take the other advice that you're being given?
So I think first you need to think about who is giving you this advice. Is this someone that you very much trust, like a beta reader who's a writer that you really love their stuff and you know they know what they're doing, versus like, your sister or something?
Right.
And also like an editor or an agent. Like, if the editor is going to be putting out your book and this is like a make it or break it kind of edit, you have to factor that in. But for me, when I get criticism like that, I always try and take it completely open-minded, even if I'm feeling like no right away, and I let myself sit with it for a little while, usually at least a day. And then I really think, like, why do they want me to change this? Like, what is their reasoning? And why do I want to keep it this way? And that will help you, like, figure out when you should listen to yourself. But I actually do think that writers do need to stand their ground on that stuff more often because, first of all, editors and agents and anyone that you're working with isn't an enemy. So they want your book to be good too. And so if you can verbalize why you want it this way, then at least if they have other counter arguments, then they can come back and explain, like, well, I don't think that, like, for instance, with Shoot Me in the Face on a Beautiful Day, that ended up going to Apocalypse Party, which is an indie press. And my agent was like, I don't think we can sell a book like that to a Big Five with that title. And that's fair. But I was like, this book is not going to sell to Big Five anyway. It's way too graphic and intense. And so, unless I take off like crazy, like they're not going to look at that. And so, I mean, then she was like, oh, that makes sense because she was going at it from a more commercial standpoint. And so it's always good to think about why do they want those changes and not put up your defense immediately. But once you've thought it through and you're able to really process it, then you can decide, like, is this something that really matters to me that I should stand my ground on? And yeah, I think that sometimes writers do bend to that pressure. They shouldn't, because it's your art. And that's what matters most, honestly, to me. Like, I would love to be a huge successful writer, but I would rather my stories are mine than something that someone else wanted that they crafted. And so you also have to balance those things.
No, yeah, that's absolutely right, because I've spoken with, again, with a few other authors, and it's that thing of, advocating for yourself, understanding your audience, and being authentic at the end of the day. Because I think especially readers and anyone who just consumes really art in any form, I think people can really tell when you're trying to do something that, isn't what you want. And I think people can feel that
Oh yeah.
inauthenticity, and they can really distinguish between the two.
I think we've all read something that we're like, that doesn't feel right, especially if it's an author you already love, and then something happens and you're like, this feels like editors messed with this, you know?
But Emma, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. This was so much fun. Before I let you go, if you can tell people where they can find you online, where they can buy the book once it comes out, both of them, and any other way they can support you, that'd be great.
So my website, which is emmaemurray.com, is where you can find links to lots of free things to read. I have lots of short stories that are available that are free, links to magazines and anthologies that I've had stories in. And also I have links to where you can pre-order both my novelette and novel that are coming out. But also When the Devil is available for pre-order now, and you can order at shortwavepublishing.com. Or anywhere that books are sold. It should also be available for pre-order. Like, I know it's on Amazon and Barnes and Noble for sure. And I think there's several other places that I just don't. I'm a Barnes and Noble girl.
Awesome. And I'm the same way. I'm Barnes and Noble all the time.
Crushing Snails will be available for pre-order very soon. So look for that. You can add it on Goodreads right now, and I will be hyping that up as soon as that pre-order link is available, which should be like in the next couple weeks. So.
Awesome. Perfect. All right, guys. Well, I'll have all those links down in the description for you guys to find the book, pre-order it, and definitely once it comes out, once y'all read it, leave those reviews and ratings for Emma. And any other way you can support her, that'd be fantastic. And yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to y'all next week.